He's an introvert, interviewing strangers from the internet, knocking down the walls of his comfort zone, one conversation at a time. This is the Gary Cantrell Podcast.
The Gary Cantrell Podcast, July the 8th, 2020. Welcome back to another episode. I'm so glad that you're here. I know my guest, Mike Foster, going to be equally as excited that you are here. But before we get him on the line here, I want to tell you about some very special people. They are my Patreon podcast producers, Caitlin at Caitlin Elise. Put three Y's in her name. Three times as awesome. Vanessa at Vanessa Ray's Journey. Also awesome. And Amanda at Mutz underscore and underscore Miles. Also awesome. They're all awesome. Go follow them on Instagram. Say what's up. Tell them I sent you. Patreon.com/Gary Cantrell is the place to go if you want to support this podcast. I'm going to give you the podcast 5 days early before everybody else hears it. Higher quality MP3, 25% off the Hard Work Always Wins merch store, and so much more. Early access to the video version of the podcast. Oh yeah, we're doing it big. Check it out, patreon.com/Gary Cantrell. All right, let's get Mike here on the line. I'm excited to chat with him. He is a fellow podcaster. He is a gamer. He's on a weight loss journey. He's got a lot of cool stuff going on, and I can't wait to get him on here. So let's see what he's got to say. Here we go.
How did you find the podcast in the first place?
So I actually found your podcast through a friend of mine. Her name's Cass. I believe she's actually been on your podcast before. Her Instagram handle is Fat Girl Strikes Back. Okay. And she is essentially my wife's life coach. It's essentially kind of what their relationship was. They were friends, kind of went professional with that while Cass was starting off her business.
Right.
And she introduced me to your podcast. It's funnily enough, we did an episode on my podcast with Cass, and it's labeled your saying. Your catchphrase is the title of my podcast with Cass on it.
I got to go find that. I actually, you know, honestly, I don't think she's been on this podcast yet, but now I must have to bug her to get on here.
Yeah, I know she's had some kind of interaction with you before. I probably am getting it wrong by saying she was on it. Yeah.
No, I believe she's done a couple of them. Here's my problem, Mike. I am, it says it in the intro, but which you've heard, I'm very introverted. I have a lot of trouble making the first move. My freaking wife made the first move on me, Mike. That's how pathetic I am at times. So,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So sometimes it's like, you know, I just, you know, I'm terrible.
That's what we call charm.
Yeah. I'm terrible about making the first move a lot of times. So, I'm attempting to work on that, but, we'll get her on here, and I'm glad that you found it. I appreciate you checking out the podcast, and, speaking of the podcast, you mentioned your podcast. Let's just start right with that. Cause I love fellow content creators. Tell me about, you know, number one, what your podcast is all about. And then kind of number two, like how you got into, creating a podcast and all that good stuff.
So my podcast is called The Beautiful Grind. Honestly, it was working in call centers for as long as I have been. I've probably been doing that business for about the better part of a decade now. And for the better part of a decade, I've been told daily how wonderful my voice is. And, oh, my God, you should be on radio. Are you on radio? You should be on radio.
I can hear it.
You know, you get it enough.
Yeah.
That I'm like, okay, this is I've probably been told by thousands of people over the years. It can't just be them being nice. So, all right, there we go. We got it. We've got an underlying talent to work with that is just God given. Gotta love it.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I don't know where the initial idea came from, the spark. I know what sparked my topic for my first episode, which was right around the time, it was a couple of years ago now, when the Gillette commercial was coming out about, it was super about the toxic masculinity of it and changing the Gillette, the best a man can get to the best a man can be. And it was really, really hot topic. And I was just like, I've been talking about doing a podcast for about 3 years now. It's time to pull the trigger. This is such a hot topic. I got to strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah.
And to date, it is my highest rated episode.
Nice.
Almost hit 100 views. I was pretty proud of it.
Hell yeah, man. That's what I'm talking about. You know, I think a lot of times people, they get nervous. They, you know, they're thinking about, they want to start a podcast or they want to, I mean, you could take that to anything. I don't know. I want to learn how to ski. I don't know. I know nothing about skiing, by the way, but I'm just throwing out random examples. And there's just like, there's these limiting beliefs in our head that stop us from wanting to do these things. And eventually after a while, you're just like, God, I just got to go and do it.
I think it's a fear of success for me anyway.
Yeah.
I was like, what if I do good at this? What if I got to, that means I got to keep doing it. That means people are going to have expectations.
Yeah.
And that developed quickly. I don't have a large listening base on mine, but the listener base that I've got is very dedicated. People that wait for my podcast, and I'm upset. I haven't put one out in months. I think the February was my last podcast.
Right.
And, we did it with this awesome young local talent. His name was Vontae, and, Vontae Desmond, and just this amazing rapper. Guy's a young kid. I think he's like 23 or something like that. Just one of the most incredible talents I've ever got to sit down with in person. And I just couldn't not do it. I couldn't miss that opportunity. And after that, it's just, I don't know. It's an up and down of like, do I even want to do this? I have no inspiration right now. The COVID thing's been going on and just sucks the inspiration out of just about, I don't know, about, I shouldn't say everybody, but it definitely impacted me. And when I seen the email come through with the request for this, I was just like, it's a sign. I got to do it. I've never been a guest. I've only been the host. Right. So I was like, yeah. I can't pass this up.
Well, this has got to be way easier than creating the podcast. I'll tell you that when somebody calls me and says, hey, you want to come on the podcast? I'm like, hell yeah, man. The pressure's off. I don't have to worry about editing this thing. I just got to show up and talk. Like, I love that part of it. So,
well, I got to be honest with you, though. Like, it's very little editing with mine. I have this very one and done mentality. I warn my guests prior to
right.
that to try to get a gut raw, especially with some of the more like the toxic masculinity episode that I did. There was one that we did on just introducing a couple of local gym coaches and stuff like that, where I'm losing my train of thought here.
You're fine. You're fine.
It was there and it was gone.
You were talking about one and done.
Yeah. So that's right. That's right. The editing process. I don't do it. I find that it's just more raw. If you just get, okay, we're going to do this in one, try to think out what you want to say beforehand in case you want to try to dodge any faux pas or anything like that. The audience is rated for mature, so you can have at her with however you feel comfortable talking. But besides that, it's going to be posted within an hour. You know what I mean? Like, before you're home, it'll probably be posted. And I just find that that gets a really natural reaction out of people. And you get the stutters and you get the, I'm not sure what to say. And it's just, I love it.
Yeah. When I first started this one, cause I've been doing this for about 12 years now. And I used to do like some wrestling podcasts and stuff like that. But now when I started out this one, and we're at the time that this will come out, it will have been 3 years already for this podcast. And I was really like super hyper focused on editing, like making sure it's, I don't want to say perfect, but just making sure that it's, you know, as good as it could be. But I also remember a conversation I had with this guy in a band. There was this guy, Dave, who played in this band called the June Spirit. Not a lot of people remember them, but they were absolutely amazing. And he told me, he's like, you know, people give us shit because when we play live, they say we sound very rough and, you know, very kind of raw. And he says, you know, that's the idea. It's like when we go in the studio, and I'm actually getting that backwards. He was talking about in the studio when they record the albums. He's like, we sound so rough. We sound so raw. He's like, that's how we sound live. And so I would rather have people get the accurate sound of us than go in the studio, make it absolutely perfect quality, and then go to the show and stink out the joint. If we get your expectations way up high and then you come to our show and we sound like shit, well then, you know, like what does that do for us? And so he told me, he's like, you know, that's why our recording sounds so raw, because that's what you get live, and we want it to be as accurate as possible to what speaks the most truest to us. And that stuck with me forever. So it's like, people will listen to this podcast. They'll say, well, you know, it's got a little bit of roughness around the edges, and that's 100% by design. Cause that's just the way I am. I'm a little rough around the edges.
Yeah, you're going to, if you go and check out my podcast, you're going to notice a very noticeable difference in quality and things like that right off the bat, because for the first year of my podcast, I had went and bought a soundboard, went and bought mics, went and bought boom arms and stuff like that. Like, I had a whole setup. I tried to make it look like a studio, so when people came in, they felt like I was taking it seriously.
Right.
And come to find out that there was a problem with the laptop I was using, and the mics never picked up nothing. The sound always was coming from the laptop mic. So no matter what I did, I couldn't figure out why my guests sounded further away than me and I sounded really clear. It's because I was talking at the mic and we just couldn't figure it out. So I almost went into a season two. You'll notice that as you're going through the list, it changes to a season two. And that's when I actually just switched to doing it on my cell phone. I sit my cell phone on the table in front of everybody. I put something soft underneath to try to take any of the rumble out of the table out. And then we just talk at each other. And I love that because of, like I was saying, the rawness to it. But I don't get me wrong, I would love to get into some editing, trying to make it sound a little more professional and like an intro, start getting into ads and stuff like that. Because my biggest thing is I'm not in this to make money right now. If you want to support me, go tell a couple of people about my podcast. I don't need your money right now.
Yeah, I love that, man. That's what it comes down to me. I always tell people, I'm like, if I was in this for money, I would have quit years ago. And believe me, I've thought about it a couple of times. But you know, what it really comes down to, it's like, yeah, you can have nice stuff or you can have your phone. It really doesn't matter. What matters is what comes from the heart. And if you've got heart and if you feel passionate about what you speak about, then people are going to realize that. They're going to know kind of who's the real and who's the fake, and they're going to sniff it out pretty quick. And I've learned that over the years. And I think that, you know, it doesn't matter if you've got the phone or the boards or whatever, as long as the message rings true to you, people are going to see, right. They're going to see that.
Another thing I like about doing it on the cell phone is the fact that I get to go to them. I don't have to worry about making people come to my studio all the time.
Yeah.
I can try to fit people's lives better. When we did the Welcome to World Gym, the Introduction to World Gym episode, where we met two of the coaches in Johnny Shreve and Zara, I went right to World Gym. We sat in their coach's lunchroom. You know, like while there was people working out throughout the gym and stuff like that, well, they had them in it because they're busy people. And I just thought that was really interesting. When we did Cass's episode, we went and sat in her living room. You know, it was it's just a unique thing that sound quality sounds fine in regards to that. It doesn't seem to be coming across as an issue for my audience. So why not keep rolling with what's working?
Well, not to mention too, the face-to-face is always the best. I mean, look, coming on Zoom, this is fun. I will always be grateful for people that will take time to come on the podcast and hang out with me. But to me, there is nothing better than meeting face to face. And I've done that probably about I would say it's under 10 times. I mean, I've done almost 200 episodes by now, and I've done it less than 10 times. It's not nearly enough. If I had my way, I'd be doing this full time and meeting people face to face. I'm very jealous in the sense that everybody that you talk to gets to be face to face. I love the idea of that. That to me makes it even better because you can really kind of feel the person right then and there on the spot. It's one of the reasons why I transferred over to video and adding that element so I can actually see the person that I'm talking to, and I can kind of get a little more idea of context, because voice, you can get all that, but when you can see the face to face, you get even more.
Oh, I 100% agree. And like right now, I feel very much like I'm still in the crawling stage of this. I've been doing it technically. I've owned this podcast for about 2.5-3 years. I think I've got less than 20 episodes out just because of pure, let's call it creativity issues. Battled depression hard my whole life and stuff like that. That creeps up and will absolutely demolish any form of creativity I have when that creeps up. To the point where, like, for example, like I've got my weight loss Instagram page. I had that thing going good for about, you know, 6-7 months, had all kinds of posts, all kinds of weight loss stuff, food, all the good stuff. A wave of depression hit me so bad that I just convinced myself that nobody gave a shit, to the point where I went and took the time to individually delete every picture off of my own Instagram and like near shut it down, you know, and then I was just like, I started over again. And the very first picture on my Instagram now is just a picture of me and looks kind of pissed off and stuff like that. And be like, this is the face of somebody who ain't done yet, you know? And that's the mentality that's kept me going my whole life.
Yeah. What do you think about it? What do you think it was about it at that particular instance? And we could talk about, you know, just general depression and where that comes from for you. But what do you think it was about, you know, with the Instagram stuff that really made you just want to take it all away?
I was giving way too many people way too much power. The opinion that I was, I'm trying to get my words out right here.
Sure. Take your
time. I was needing people's opinions. I was craving it. I needed the acceptance. I needed the approval. I needed to know people gave a shit.
Yes.
And then it just hit me. Why do I need that? That was a sobering moment, you know, and even still something that I deal with today, because I've had issues with wanting to, let's call it, I don't know, a misplaced brotherhood. You know, I've been trying to find that brother figure my whole life, or that brotherhood figure or that, you know, that group feeling my whole life. So I've been searching for it everywhere. And, you know, it just dawned on me that, okay, I've been searching for this need for approval, this need for other people's acceptance, and they aren't there with me when I close my eyes at night and lay my head on my pillow. That's me. And like I said, even today, I'll still battle with that and still seek approval and stuff like that. And then I have to, like, I'm like, oh, okay, whoa. Again, remember why we started this. We didn't start this for somebody else. You know, you got a wife you're trying to be healthy for. When did you say this was going to air?
I believe it's going to be sometime in July.
Sometime in July? All right, so I can talk about this then, because it'll be out in public by then. So me and my wife are expecting.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you, man. So I made sure to talk to her beforehand that once we got the oak clear that it was going to be at least 3 weeks out, we can hit that 12-week marker, that I can talk about it with you.
Is this your first one?
This is not my first one. This is her first one. I've got two from a previous relationship.
Gotcha.
But this is our first together. This is her first. And man, we are excited, and it is absolutely amazing. So I got this baby to be healthy for. I got my wife to be healthy for. Me. Got me to be healthy for. I'm this is the first time I've been this happy. Christ, I can't even remember last time.
Yeah. No, I love that. You said a lot of things that ring true to me, a lot of things that I have felt over the last couple of years. I've definitely had my on and off with Instagram as well, just social in general. I think when you kind of realize that in reality, you know, and I don't mean this like everybody, but when I say like nobody gives a shit a lot of times, I mean, that rings true for a great percentage of people. You know, there are people that are online and they're, you know, they're liking stuff, you know, double tap. But like, do they really care? You know, I wonder. and there are people, you know, you can meet. I've met some great people on Instagram, both in person, and I've had some great friendships. Some that have gone south, others that are still ring true to this day, that have been gone on for more than a couple of years. But there definitely is some toxicness about the platform and just social media in general. That can really, I mean, it can really bring you right down to zero. I kind of hit rock bottom with it in February. I took like an entire month off. I deleted the app. And I probably wrecked a lot of friendships because I just disappeared. You know, I was, you know, just very much, starting to become a negative person that I did not like, that I promised myself I wouldn't allow myself to be anymore. And so when you're talking about that, man, it was just hitting me really hard.
Yeah, and it's crazy because I was a real socially awkward guy growing up, right? Like, it took me a long time to learn how to be what I feel is a good person. I would not know how to handle social situations. I would, like, I firmly believe I'm in some fashion on the spectrum. 100% believe it. In some register there. I know it goes very wide these days. But just like in regards to, it took me decades, like, I mean, into my 20s to learn to not be a selfish asshole, you know, to think about other people and just be like, not even in just like common little things, just be like, oh, that person's sad. Well, I that is nothing, no effect on me. Why should I care? Just general being a nice person, you know. It took me a long time to be able to feel happy with who I am. And, you know, it took meeting my wife, I think. I said this a million times to people who know me, but she saved my life 100%.
Really? How so?
When I met her, I was, and I'm not going to use the word living here, I was surviving off of about $217 a month, living off of welfare. Essentially, that's what it was. So social assistance. My dad had just died. Was going through super bad depression. She like couldn't work, tried to work, just couldn't do it. Ended up on social assistance. Would get my rent paid for, and then I would get about $217, something like that, to survive off of food, cable, things like that. Mm-hmm. I would drink it every month. I would go and buy like two large pizzas from the pizza joint up the road. That would be my out of piece pizza two at in a sitting a couple times a day. And I would just make that stretch as hard as I could, and I drank the rest of it.
Yeah.
So I was on a super destructive path. Alcoholism runs in my family. You know, I was walking right into it with both feet forward, you know, and met her. Didn't have a job, like I said. She didn't want to be with somebody who didn't have a job, just plain and simple. I wanted to be with her more than I wanted to keep living in that sorrow that I was living in. You know, so got a job, stopped drinking. I can't tell you last time I've had a drink now. I know it hasn't been like, it's not like I'm intentionally not drinking or avoiding it. Like I'm right. not like trying to go to meetings or anything like that. I'll drink when I the situation calls for it, but it's probably been like a year.
Wow.
This doesn't mean anything to me anymore. You know, and had I not met her, I don't believe we'd be sitting here having this conversation. And that's honest to God truth.
That's very fair. I know the alcohol can be a big problem. I never kind of got to a similar level, but I could tell you that, you know, I know a lot of people that they have dealt with the alcoholism, and it'll wreck your life before you realize it. You'll think for so long that everything's good, everything's great, and then before you know it, rock bottom. You're just trying to pick yourself up off the floor. You're trying to get your ass out of bed every day to live your life. And so I definitely can understand that. And it sounds like she came along at the right time.
Yeah, man. I don't even want to think about where I'd be without her. You know, that yeah. is what it is. And you know, now we got this kid on the way, and just like generally excited every day.
That's what you live for right there. And you mentioned, you know, that, you were posting about your weight loss journey, like on Instagram, and you were working on that. So where are you at now with kind of your journey?
Okay. So, I tipped the scale with my weight loss at 104 pounds.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. In a little less than a year. Thank you. A little less
huge.
Than a year. So I've,
huge.
Yeah, I've. Yeah, and my wife did the same thing. She was actually about 124 pounds. I think she tipped at her total weight loss. Awesome. And again, that was in a little bit less time than me. She was just an absolute machine. She started powerlifting. That's what we did. She started powerlifting.
Nice.
And right now with the whole COVID thing and the gyms being shut down and everything like that, it's stalled. I've put some weight back on. I think I probably creeped on about 20, 25 pounds. Not great.
Right. Where are you?
My coach listens to this. He won't be happy.
Where are you sitting at like right now? What's your weight right now?
I am sitting at 334, I think.
Okay. All right. So
I was 418 at my heaviest that I caught on the scale, and I'm sure I went heavier than that.
Yeah, so you were in the 400-pound club, me and you both, 400-pound club.
Yeah. Yeah, the stoner in me almost was a little upset that I never caught 420 on the scale, though, I'll be honest.
I love that. That's awesome. But I mean, you know, what was that life like for you at 400? Speak to kind of your everyday kind of routines and feelings around 400.
Okay. Well, that it's crazy because me and my wife actually talked about this not long ago because I went out and got a Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Yeah.
Up. All right.
Which flavor? Intolerant,
no. Cherry Garcia all the way.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah. Cherry Garcia all the way. So I'm lactose intolerant now. We learned that, but they make Cherry Garcia and lactose free, and it tastes the exact same. So I'm winning.
Nice.
So we went out and got one, and I had to like scoop half of it out into a bowl. It was just too much. I couldn't eat it in a sitting. And when I was tipping my scale, my heaviest, I was eating one of those a night.
Wow.
One of those a night, plus other junk food, chips, chocolate. Like, we were probably like burning through money like crazy, just feeding this food addiction that we had. You know, just depressed, never left the house. The situation we were living in at the time was we were living with my wife's parents. This was before we were married.
Right.
And it was us, her parents, and occasionally her brother would be coming in through and stuff like that. So it was just a lot in one, you know, not a huge house or anything like that, but it's the fact that we had no space to ourselves. Couldn't go in the living room and watch TV because that's where her father was. You know, we get in a fight or anything like that, we just had to sit in bed beside each other pissed.
Yikes.
You know, because it was, and we lived like that for years. It was really unhealthy. We survived it, obviously, but I mean, it was very difficult. Definitely did not come without its challenges. And just the depression got real bad to the point where we would join gyms, quit gyms, we would lie to ourselves every day, be like, oh, let's get this one more takeout. We'll start on Monday. You know, we won't do it again. You know, like, and just trying to find the norm there to the point where the basic, like, showering started to become difficult. Using the bathroom started to become difficult. You know, like, I was pulling muscles, stretching, trying to like wipe my ass and stuff like that. I remember almost pulling a rib out.
Wow.
Yeah. No word of a joke. I was just like, I was craning so far back, pain in my rib pulled me back the other side. Never forget it, man. That was one of those moments where I was just like, all right, that's it.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. This is too much. I can't live like this. And then at the time I'm sitting there watching my then fiance's father, who's bigger than I ever was, and still going, horrible health condition, you know, bad heart, stuff like that, but just living like that. And to the point where, you know, he has to get his toenails clipped by his wife and stuff like that because he just can't reach. You know, I'm not going to get too much into that because that's not my stuff to tell, but
sure,
you know, I didn't want that.
Yeah, no, you know, that makes sense.
I didn't want that. I was heading for it. I was heading for an early grave for sure, man. My dad had his first heart attack by the time he was 32. I'm 34 now.
34, you know, okay. Like,
you know, so when I hit 32, I had that, oh shit. Okay, I could be dead right now. I could be dead right now. I could have had a heart attack by now. Just like my dad. My dad had 5 heart attacks before he died.
Damn. That's a lot of heart attacks, man.
In the span of 10 years or something like that. Dude had triple bypass surgery, had an angina attack, smoked every day from the day he was 13 years old. You know?
Yeah.
But I had to make that change. And then it took me till after we were married to really kind of get my shit together.
Yeah, but you have like a moment that like sticks out that's like, this is the moment.
Honestly, I got to give a lot of credit to the franchise World Gym. So we got our first location here a year ago, I think like today or yesterday, actually, I think they opened.
Right.
And they had been open for about a month and we'd been hemming and hawing about going, you know, oh, we'll go check it out tomorrow. We'll go check it out tomorrow. Kept putting it off, doing what we normally do. And we went in and we got a tour by the owner's wife, not just some front desk clerk, the owner's wife. And then we met the owner, Amr. Dude's amazing. To this day, I've got his cell phone number. Like, you know, like how many people can say they got their gym's owner's cell phone number?
Yeah, not a lot.
You know, and that's just because he's that good of a guy. This guy, I lost, I didn't lose my job per se, but I had went on a 17-week streak where my job had been screwing me over and not giving me a full paycheck. It was regarding some health issues and stuff like that I'd been dealing with. But he found out what was going on. I let him know I was having some issues with trying to come up with the month's gym payment. He said, you know what? Don't worry about it. Next thing you know, we have 3 months free, both me and my wife.
That's awesome. That's a good guy right there.
Yeah, that's just the kind of guy he is, you know, and I can't even begin to say what else he's been doing for the community that I don't know about. But like I said, I got to give a lot of credit to World Gym because of the fact that that's when it started. got in there, started lifting, started, we didn't know we were doing, we were really aimless and stuff like that. Kind of started making friends with people, started kind of chit chatting with the trainers, started taking some classes, started learning, okay, this is how you really deadlift. Okay. You know, now we're starting to make some friends. It's just kind of snowballed. Next thing you know, we're in there every day and we're becoming well-known faces, you know, and people know us by name now and people are following us on Instagram every day. And it's becoming a super tight-knit community in there of like a fairly large group. It's a very large public gym. And the next thing you know, the weight's falling off. I start picking up the powerlifting a little more seriously. I start going to a gym called Raw Power. They're a really small gym, but they're a very dedicated group of powerlifters. And that's kind of what really did it. That's what the weight was just falling off at that point. And like I went on this 4-month streak where I couldn't lose 15 pounds, the same 15 pounds I'd been fighting with it.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, 40 pounds comes off the scale, 60 pounds comes off the scale. And I'm just like, this can't even be real. And I'm like sitting there crying, like laughing. And my wife's like, what's going on? I'm like, yeah, I just lost 100 pounds. It says that's 100 pounds.
It's a major milestone.
And at that point, it's just like, I can't go back. I can't go backwards. Kind of did a little bit with this COVID thing, but I mean, 25, 30 pounds. I got that. I didn't even worry about it.
I'm in the same boat. Tell me about the weightlifting and all that. That's something I've always been fascinated with, but I've always kind of been terrified at the same time because the gym I go to, it's like, it's always, that's the area that's the most crowded. And, you know, it always looks so kind of intimidating to me. I've also got rheumatoid arthritis. So I'm like, fuck, like, what am I supposed to do? Tell me a little bit about, you know, kind of your discovery of it and how it ended up being the key to the success you've seen.
Well, I've always loved lifting, right? I've always liked being strong. I'm built like an ox, so I was always naturally strong. Always undercut my own strength too. Really quick little story about that. I was squatting like 175 pounds and thinking it was really difficult. This is like 7-8 years ago now.
Yeah.
And I was struggling with it. I was like, oh my god, it's fucking heavy as shit. And then me and my buddy, we were deciding that we're going to start me on a new program. And to do this new program, I had to learn the one rep max for the three major lifts being bench, dead, and squat. So we started with squat. We put on my existing max. And then I'm just like, okay, don't tell me what you're going to put on. Just put on the weight. I'll just go. And he was like, are you sure? I was like, yes. So he progressively started putting weight on and more weight on. And I was just going for singles. And I was banging them out like they were nothing. Next thing you know, I'm like, okay, that one was a grinder. And he says to me, he's like, okay, I think you got one more in you. And I'm debating on what to put on the bar. Do I go safe or do we want to go for broke? And I was like, let's go for safe. I just did like 15 reps of progressively heavier weight.
Right.
Come to find out that I PR'd at 310 from 175 in a day, in a session. You know, like I've done that my whole life, though. I'll undercut myself, but don't we all?
Yeah.
So powerlifting has always kind of been there, but lifting has always been there. Powerlifting is new because powerlifting is an entirely different world. The best thing I can say just to start, YouTube is going to be your best friend. Find guys like Eddie Hall has some of the best instructional videos I've ever seen. Some of the most detailed, well-educated instructional videos on how to deadlift, how to squat, how to bench. I gotta be honest, I'm not too sure on how to suggest about the rheumatoid arthritis and stuff like that. I can almost guarantee that there is things you can do. There's a girl in my gym who I think she's in her mid-60s. One of the strongest chicks in that gym.
Right.
You know, so like there's always ways to work around it if you really want it. And you're not wrong. It is intimidating as hell. And if I didn't go through the world gym route that I went through for the first year of my journey, I would never have been able to step foot inside of Raw Gym. Raw Gym has three rules. If you ask one of the owners, they'll joke about a fourth. But it's don't be a bitch.
Right.
Don't quit and leave your ego at the door. Other than that, you will succeed in there. If you come in and you work hard, it doesn't matter if the guy before you is deadlifting 500 pounds and you're deadlifting 135. You will be treated the same. And I can generally say that's true. But I would not, like I said, I would not have been able to step in there. I wouldn't have had the confidence. You know, you do have to start somewhere. So I would suggest definitely learn how to do the three major lifts, research on how to deal with rheumatoid arthritis, because that will, I can almost guarantee, be an issue. Yeah. You want to try to, obviously, you're going to be in a bunch of pain as it is from doing these lifts. You don't want to be dealing with excess stuff that you don't got to. It is the healthiest thing I've ever done. Mentally, physically, it's magic is what it is. And once this whole COVID thing is over, I'm going to be introducing strongman into it as well.
Okay, cool. And tell me a little bit about, you know, kind of the diet side of it too, because, you know, I know as better as anybody could know, or as well as anybody can know rather, like, you know, when you're trying to transition from what you're used to what you're trying to do, it can be very, very difficult at times. You know, you're like, okay, I want to make a change. I want to make a change. Like, what do I eat? How do I figure it out? Talk about kind of some of the stuff that you've worked into your diet now and, you know, how that transition was for you.
So that like, I've battled with the food addiction for my whole life, right? So that's been a consistent problem in regards to portion control, consistency in eating, regularity in eating. Those are the huge ones there. Obviously, just recently learning I'm lactose intolerant changed my entire diet. But when this first started, I started working with the boxing coach at World Gym, and he got me a meal plan that we come to find out was a terrible meal plan for me. But it worked very similar for him, and it came from a bodybuilder friend of his, so he trusted him. But this bodybuilder friend of his has never met me, didn't know that I was a 400-pound dude, you know. And I hated life for 2.5 months. Fish, chicken, rice, like it was like six or seven items I was eating for 2.5 months. I was miserable, hated it. So to the point where it just started falling apart and I started binge eating again. I was just like, give me the McDonald's, give me the Burger King, man. Screw this shit. I can't do this fish anymore. Like if I'm gagging it down, like I hate it. So it was obviously something I had to change. Started talking with some other educated people, started learning that that was not a great meal plan for me to be on. Come to find out that there's not a meal plan. I've done the Weight Watchers. I've done the yo-yo diets. It doesn't work. You have to have dedication. Portion control is massive. And just make healthier choices. I know it sounds corny and super generic, but it is very true. So like I will have chicken and rice. I'll have some red meat and some salad, stuff like that. But it's with, like, I eat good food. You know, I'll still go out to McDonald's and stuff like that if I want to. I don't, because it doesn't do anything for me anymore. But it's a constant education thing, right? Like, I'm a picky eater, too. It doesn't help, right?
No, that's...
Wife hates shopping for me.
No, that's... Let's sit center on that for a moment, because I definitely can identify as a very picky eater. What are some of the things that you absolutely under no circumstance will eat?
Cauliflower.
Same.
Right off the bat. I can't do it. A lot of different fishes. It can't be fishy at all. If it's fishy at all, I'm done.
Fish sticks? Like,
I can do fish sticks. I'll do tuna. I can do canned tuna and stuff like that with like mayo or whatever. I can venture there. I'll do like a salmon steak. But I mean, my God, what was the, you should have seen my face the first time I went for sushi. That was an experience. Just like I've seen too many horror videos out there of like people eating sashimi and stuff like that and little worms crawling out of it and stuff. I'm like, no, I just can't. A steak, chicken, turkey, rice, potatoes.
Yeah, that's for me, that's you know, there's a lot of things that I won't do any of the seafood. I won't do basically anything like international, you know, any sort of like Asian or Indian.
I don't have the palate for it.
Yeah, same here. I like smells and textures are key to me. That's everything. So, you know, like you could tell me like some Indian food, like, dude, it tastes like, I don't know, chocolate cake. That's a little extreme, but just bear with me. You know, you could say it tastes just like chocolate cake. Here's the problem. If the texture isn't right and the smell is too strong, I can't do it. Like, it could literally taste exactly like chocolate cake. I can't do it.
Yep. Well, it's just like that episode of Friends when Ross was going to drink the grease and he just like, it's just a vanilla milkshake. It's just a vanilla milkshake.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, and you know, back to what you were saying about, you know, you were doing all these things that you necessarily didn't like, you know, eating the fish and the chicken and the rice at first, and it made you miserable. I think this goes back to something that's very key that a lot of people that are just getting started should recognize and remember. You should absolutely base this around things that you like, preferences, you know, finding foods that you like, that you actually will eat, and maybe just finding the healthier version of it, you know, that's everything.
Yeah. And see, if I can give one piece of advice to somebody who's starting, get not just second opinions, get third, fourth opinions. Don't stop learning. You know, like I took that boxing coach's word for gospel. And I hated life for 2.5 months.
Yeah.
When if I just had to ask somebody else, I just had to went to one of the, like, cause we have a guy there who's going for his IFBB pro card this year. And if I had to just taken it to him and just been like, yo, what do you think of this for me? He would have laughed at me. Like, I could have saved myself months of agony.
Yeah.
No. So don't stop learning. Always learn.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to do some more research on a lot of things. My thing is I think I spend more time trying to learn more about this shit than getting healthier. That's my biggest hang up.
Well, from one content creator to another, this shit
is
complicated and there's a lot to it. And people who don't do it don't know.
It's very complicated. What was the hardest part about it for you? I know you mentioned some stuff earlier about the, you know, the mics and nailing
the
all that.
Tech issues.
Yeah.
The hardest part for me is staying creative. I'm pretty good at ad-libbing, like on the fly, I can keep a conversation going. But like a perfect example, go back and listen to, if you're going to listen to any of them, just for shits and giggles, the Wrestling Lifers. You'll love this. I had a local wrestler come on who I have been friends with for a while now. And it was the most pain. And I don't care if he listens to it either. It was the most painful interview I've ever done.
Okay.
All right. Because I'm like, all right, I'm walking down a street. It's Friday night. I've got money in my pocket. There's a wrestling show. Tell me why a non-wrestling fan would want to walk into that arena to watch you wrestle. And then he's just like, well, why would I want to do that? And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, have you never done like improv? It's always a yes ended. Like, he just was killing the interview every chance he got. I had to fight with him to the point where my other buddy who was there had to fill in for him. And he's not even a wrestler. He has wrestled. He's been in the ring.
Yeah.
But he's like an announcer. He does the background work. He does the music and stuff for them. He helps out. He volunteers his time. But he had to carry that friggin' podcast.
Yeah, there's nothing I hate more than and maybe people realize they do it or they don't realize that they do it, because I believe that that's also possible too. But it's like, you know, when you ask something and it's just a very short answer. Oh, yeah. Pause. and then you're expecting for them to expand on it a little bit more, because like the question that is set up in a way to where they could expand and educate people, and it's just like, oh yeah, that's true, yeah. Pause.
I always try to set up my questions so that anybody at the table can answer it, and that it can go on for up to 15-20 minutes. I always try my best anyway to set up my formats like that. I like to try to get people on tangents. I try to get people telling stories. I couldn't do it with this guy to save my life.
I think the biggest hang up that I have, like with the internet stuff, is like, you know, just latency, you know, like sometimes there'll be like a delay, you know, like, you know, this podcast or any other podcast that I've ever done, there's always going to be a little bit of the talking over just because of the latency. And if you can get around that, then you'll be just fine. But sometimes that even will hang up people too. I mean, it's technology, man. What can you say?
You know what? And that's very true. I think we've been nailing it pretty good. A couple times we had a little talk over there I caught, but you know what? I think overall we've done pretty good here. You have a whole set of problems that I've never even thought of because I've tried. I've got a buddy down in DC who I've been wanting to get on
no kidding
my podcast for a while. And I don't either know how to set up something like this, or I don't have the equipment because I don't have a cam on my, like I'm on my cell phone right now. Okay. Like, I don't have a cam on my computer or anything like that. This is all done through my cell phone.
Well, let me stop you right there, Mike, if I could. I believe I looked this up on your page. You use Anchor, correct?
Anchor, yeah.
Okay, great. So with Anchor, with their app, you can actually have people on a conversation using just the app. So, and this is, I have to say this now because then people say, oh my God, you're sponsored by Anchor and you're not mentioning it. So in the app, this is not a sponsored ad, by the way. So in the app, there's a way where you can send a link. You can create a little, kind of like a Zoom invite, essentially. Okay. It's not video, it's just audio, but you set up the little thing and you send them a link. And they don't even need the app to be able to jump in. It used to be where you needed the app and you'd bring people in. And it's not without its technical glitches. I've certainly dealt with a little bit of that, and that's why I kind of use external stuff, and I just upload after the fact, which it sounds like you were probably doing before, where you're just uploading your podcast. You were dealing with it on the computer, putting it on Anchor. But you can actually use their app to record a conversation and just blast it right out to the Anchor app and out to all of your all the places where your podcast is distributed, all through your phone.
I've got to get more into it. I've just got to try to find that drive that I found when I had it in the beginning. I just, like I said, it's been since February since I put an episode out, and the creativity has definitely been, to kind of touch base on what we were talking about there a second ago, it's just definitely been my biggest.
Yeah.
Trying to come up with topics, because every one of my episodes is topic based. You know, I haven't done one solo yet either. And that's another thing.
Yeah,
I keep saying I'm going to do my story because I've got a fairly interesting life. I'm not going to sit here and try to toot my own horn, but I haven't had an easy one, you know, and a lot of people think that, oh, you could be a motivational speaker, things like that. I don't wouldn't go that far with myself, but I've heard it before, but just the shit I've lived through. And I keep saying I'm going to do hour and a half on myself, but it's just like, I have to take the time to even just sit and chronologically try to line that stuff up. But yeah, I don't know. That's my thing, right? It's just trying to stay consistent.
You should probably do, this is just opinion. You can do whatever the fuck you want. It's your podcast. But I would say, you know, if you were thinking like, oh, I should do one big long one, maybe you should just do a bunch of little ones. You could map out your story. You could write down your story, essentially like different bullet points, and then just do like a 10 or 15 minute podcast and just bam, 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 bam. And just now you've got weeks and weeks and weeks of content, because what I've even learned with this thing, it's like, you know, I've done a couple of them that have been over an hour. I mean, a lot of them have been over an hour, but then I've done some that are even 2 hours or longer than that. And after a while, people are just like, I'm out. So, you know, what I've done with this is like, okay, every Wednesday I highlight somebody else. And then on the weekends, I release one that kind of it's like one for me, one for them. Basically, I'm going to do one about me. And then the other one, the main one that everybody actually listens to, is sharing somebody else's story and having a conversation with somebody. So you could almost release, you know, just several little bite-sized ones, and it doesn't take up a lot of people's time. You can have a lot of impact in just that 10 or 15 minutes. You can go a little bit longer. But then you've also got several pieces of content, as they say, and content is king, my friend.
That's a good suggestion. I had not thought about that.
Something to think about, you know, and just see how it fits to your particular life and see if it makes sense. And if it does, run with it.
I'm gonna give that some serious thought, because maybe that is the thing, right? Because like, I keep trying to fill these big hour and 10, usually 57 minutes seems to be the number I keep seeing. But I keep trying to fill these big hour spots because that's what I think people want to hear. Is I think people want to hear these in-depth conversations and these like super complex thought processes that people have. Like, I don't know. Plus, I love people being passionate about something, right? So like when I get somebody who's super passionate about something, like one of my best friends, we did a cannabis 101 episode. He is a master grower. So to hear him talk about his lifelong passion, he just gets going and I just get enthralled in it. I just love hearing people. Same thing with Johnny on the episode that I mentioned before. He is another one of those guys that you just love listening to. So I try to keep it going. But that's a good idea. I like that.
Yeah, man. Think about that. See if it works for you. And then just run with it. I mean, when I started this podcast here 3 years ago, I came from the old mentality because when I used to talk wrestling, I was doing like 2-hour live internet radio broadcasts. Now, back in 2013 and before, that was kind of what a lot of people were doing. They were doing internet radio streaming live. And what I found is that most people were actually listening on the podcast anyway. But when I came back, it was like, oh, it's got to be at least an hour. And almost all of them were solo. And I got to like figure out how to fill a freaking hour by myself. Like that is just, ugh. No way, man. And then I was like, I got to get people on the podcast and just talk to people and hear their story instead. And that's way more interesting. I'd rather listen to people tell me their story than hear me babble about my own stuff. So when I do, I keep it very short.
Yeah, I am very much the same boat. I love listening to people tell stories.
Yeah, that's I think that, you know, everybody's got a story. It's time that we hear it. And some people get nervous and are like, oh, I don't know if I really have a story to share. And it's like, we all got a story to share, man. So,
yeah. One thing I wanted to share with you.
Yeah.
Just because I just seen it a second ago. And this just happens to be hanging on my wall beside us right now. But.
Hey, there it is. You're a him fan.
Yeah, that is legit, just hanging right there on my wall. I just figured I'd show you that because I saw your tattoo.
I appreciate that. I'll show that on camera now because I have a video podcast now. There it is. Yeah. Oh, wait, let me.
There we go.
I got that 2004. This was, they just broke up a couple of years ago, like almost 2 years ago now, which broke my heart. But I love that. I love that band, man. They were one of my favorites.
Him had such an influential part of my youth and stuff like that. Just like CKY and like,
yeah,
all the like Bam was my idol growing up, you know? So. Yeah.
I loved, that's how I found out about him was the CKY DVDs. I think it was CKY 3 was the first one that I saw. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Right Here in My Arms was on that one. Heard that. Yep. And then CKY 4, they had Buried Alive by Love. It was this, now that you're a hymn fan, you may know about this, you may not know about this. So in that DVD, it was like on hymn fans were talking on the internet for years about how do I get that version? Because the version on Love Metal is very different. It's much more rock oriented.
Yes.
And this one had a lot of electronica sounds to it, and people were like, how do I get this version? And for years it was never released until they put out Uneasy Listening Volume 2, and the very first track is Buried Alive by Love, the 616 version. I will argue anybody that that is the superior version of Buried Alive by Love.
You know what? I'm going to go back after we're done here. I'm going to listen to that, and I'll shoot you a little DM later, and we can have that conversation because now you got me curious.
Oh,
I haven't heard those songs in so many years, man.
Well, do this when you do that, listen to the Love Metal version first, the one that everybody kind of knows. Get reacquainted with that, okay? And then you go to Uneasy Listening Volume 2 and you get to the 616 version and it's just night and day, cuz I remember when I heard that on the DVD and I was just like, "What is this fucking song?" Like it was just so powerful. And when I heard the Love Metal version, I walked away almost slightly disappointed. I don't want to disrespect the artists, you know, Vil Valo and the band, because they're pouring their hearts out in this, but I felt like that version of the song just lacked the punch that the one from the DVD had.
Well, that's the thing about music, man. Like, and you probably know way more about music than myself. I don't make it, but like, there's a perfect example right off the top of my head. There's, oh my goodness. Of course, now I'm trying to think of it. It's, Five Finger Death Punch did a remake of Hotel California, I want to say it was.
Really? They did that one?
No, was it Hotel California?
I know about Bad Company. Is that the one you're thinking of?
Bad Company was a good one. Hold on. I got to look it up now.
While
we're chit-chatting here.
Yeah. I was going to say, while you're looking that up, that version of Bad Company is actually, I like that more than the original. And I know people will say, oh my God, how is that possible? I'm a baseball guy, Washington Nationals, and one of our old closing pitchers by the name of Drew Storen used to walk out to that song, and you knew when that song came on, shit was about to go down. Now, of course, he ended up blowing game 5 of the NLDS in 2012, and nobody, I don't think, ever forgave him for it, poor Drew. I didn't blame him for it, but when you heard that song in 2012, you knew shit was about to go down.
So it wasn't Hotel California, I was thinking the wrong thing. It was House of the Rising Sun.
Oh, yeah.
So they did a remake of that song. Amazing. Amazing song. But it lacks a warmth, almost.
Okay.
That the original has. So I get what you're saying. That's all that I was trying to say was that I really do get what you were saying there. I really, really understand what you're saying.
I will tell you this, speaking of covers, because now it's right at the top of my mind. People know I listen to all kinds of stuff, but Thomas Rhett, he's a country artist who has a little bit of pop tendencies, a little bit of rock tendencies in him. He did a cover of Bruno Mars's When I Was Your Man, and to me, and I love Bruno Mars, don't get me wrong, I love just about everything that guy's put out, especially 24 Karat Magic, that record, but hearing Thomas Rhett sing that song, When I Was Your Man, and it has a personal meaning as well, but hearing that, I mean, it just cuts through me like a freaking knife, and it's one of the more powerful things that I've heard. I was like, man, that is a great freaking cover of that song.
I love it when music does that to you. Eminem is really good for doing that for me.
Yes. Eminem, have you heard, well, I know you're a fan, you probably have heard it. To me, the favorite song I've heard him do, Talking to Myself from Recovery. Oh.
I love Talking to Myself. That yes. is such a good one. Oh my God.
I hear that one. Yeah. And it's to me, and I don't want to speak for him obviously, but it's like, here's a guy, he's owning up to his shit. He's apologizing to whoever he let down. He's just saying, I'm back. This is me. I fucked up, but I'm back. I'm ready to come get it. That song speaks to me now, right now, more than anything, because like you've talked about, you know, with the COVID and everything, gaining weight and all that stuff, like, I'm just like, I'm going to make this comeback. And so when I hear that, and when you mentioned Eminem, that was the very first song that came right to the top of my mind.
Yeah, no, there's this one song that I'm just trying to see if I can get the, I think it's called Stronger Than I Was.
Okay.
All right. And it's off the Marshall Mathers LP 2. That one there, holy, that one hits really crazy because there's this one section where it feels like the song almost takes to the end of the song to even start singing. It's just, I don't know. I get that vibe when I hear it.
Yeah.
Cause he has almost like chorus, but it's just like no real lyrics or anything. It's really hard to describe, but then when it starts, he starts talking about how almost like, an ex, like literally almost put a knife through him and stuff like that. And it's just, please listen to it. You'll understand. It's a lot of people can relate to this song, but that's one of those ones that just hits super different.
Man, I gotta say, music, wrestling, podcasting, weight loss, like, dude, we covered it all tonight. Can you
believe
that?
We're very similar. I was looking at your Instagram earlier today, and you've got to meet some fairly interesting wrestlers that I'm very jealous of.
I've gotten to
a lot of them. I've only gotten to meet Gangrel.
Okay.
I got to hang out with him though, so that was really cool.
He's taller than
I was ever expected. He's tall.
He looks shorter, but that's crazy that you say that he's taller.
He's taller than me, and I'm 6'1".
Taller than me.
I got to
both of you.
Yeah, I got to hang out with AJ Styles, one of the funniest guys I ever met in real life.
Oh, I love AJ.
When I first met that guy, I walked in and he's so polite. He's sitting there mowing down on all dressed chips because down in the States, you guys don't got all dressed chips, or at least where he lives in Georgia Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't have all dressed chips. So he's just sitting there just stuffing his face after a match. And
What's an all dressed chip?
All dressed is just a flavor, of chip. It's kind of like, I don't know. I kind of always just imagined it was just like you take all the flavors of chips, you throw them in a bag. That's what you get. But it's not really like that. But either way, I can't really describe it. It's got a almost like a vinegary kind of bite to it. And he loves them. and he can only get them when he's here. So every time he comes here to wrestle locally, he leaves with bags and bags of them. So yeah. I walk in the locker room with my my buddy, and he's just trying to immediately clean off his hands. He's putting the chips away, and he's apologizing, and he's trying to shake my hand, and he's explaining just like how in love with these chips he is. And I'm like, dude, you're AJ Styles. like, do you know that? Do you know you're AJ Styles? And you're talking to me about all dressed chips right now? Like, but yeah, I got to meet Davey Boy Smith Jr. That was pretty nuts.
Nice. I'm sorry. I had, for some reason, the email on my Mac opened up and an ad started playing. And it was just blaring through my ears. Do you mind sharing the AJ thing one more time? And I'm just going to just slice it together like it never happened. I apologize about that, dude.
Not a problem. So, the AJ, I got to meet AJ Styles, and, where he is in Georgia, where he lives, he is a particular type of chips like that. He can't get a flavor called all dressed chips.
Right.
So I go to walk into this locker room, and this dude is just super polite, super humble. And he's just, he sees me as obviously a fan coming back to meet him. So he is immediately starting to hide his snack, put it away, cleaning off his hands, being all professional, and
yep.
just like trying to like shake my hand and apologize to me. And he's just talking to me about how he can't get these chips down home where he lives. And he's like, I love them. Every time I come up here, I take bags and bags home with me. I just love them so much. And I'm like, just sitting there kind of in awe. I'm like, dude, you're just a regular guy, but you're AJ Styles. I'm like, do you know you're AJ Styles? Like, and it's just like, I'm sitting here watching this dude just talk to me about all dressed chips. And I'm just like, this is incredible.
Yeah. He seems, I met him once. He seems like a very nice guy. Now I met him at an Access. So I had like maybe 30 seconds, maybe. I actually have it. I don't have it in front of me. It's in a box somewhere, which that really depresses the shit out of me that it's sitting in a box. But I had him sign a World Heavyweight Championship replica. It had his side plates on it, and he signed it, and it's sitting in a damn box. I've been telling myself forever that I was going to hang it up on the wall and have it displayed prominently, and I just never got around to it. I can't even get this office around me cleaned up. I'm such a damn wreck. But no, that's a way better AJ Styles than the one I have.
I couldn't believe it. It's just, I walked out of that locker room and I'm like, how does, I just sitting there having these thoughts to myself. I'm like, how does he deal with being AJ Styles? How do any of them deal with being a WWE superstar? Like, we're in Lower Sackville, or not Lower Sackville. We're in, where were we at the time? Spryfield, Nova Scotia. That's okay. Where we were. Okay. This is a little backwater part of, like, just outside of Halifax, our main city, and stuff like that. And the Lions Arena where he wrestled is this dingy, like, I'm like, hey, what are you even doing in this building? This, like, what are you here for?
He's booked. And
this was just before he came to the WWE. And, man, just such an incredible experience, right? Just talking to this dude and getting to meet him. And just the humbleness, I keep coming back to that. I don't know how he deals with being as big a celebrity as he is and staying as humble as he is. That's what I'm trying to get at. It blows my mind how any of them, like Triple H is another perfect example, like how he is just as good with people as he is.
Yeah. He's really good. I haven't met him, but based on everything that I've seen, interactions, like raw video people around him, he just seems like he's, you know, very easy to deal with and be around for sure.
My favorite anything to do with wrestling was Tough Enough Season 1. That even when, like, I've been a wrestling fan since I was 14.
Right.
And my favorite memories is that show. Because as much as I love the entertainment aspect of it and the performance of it, I like seeing the behind-the-scenes stuff, them as real people, them as having to do this, like, and to see them train a bit and see Triple H come on and be, like, he took a hit from somebody, and it's like, if you did that in the ring, I'd tag you for real. I'll never forget about it. He just threw a shit punch, and Triple H was like, I swear to God, if you did that in the ring, I would pop you for real. And I'm just like, that's the stuff that I want to see, which you just don't get.
No, I think that, I'll probably end up losing people here if I go too nerdy in the wrestling, but I don't give a shit at this point. But I think that that's one of the things that's missing from that company right now, and I've been a fan of theirs for years, WWE, but I think some of that realism is really missing from their product. I mean, you look at something like AEW, and I watch that far more than I do the WWE just because I feel less insulted, or actually not insulted at all when I watch their show as compared to the WWE show because I feel that sense of realism. And they do have some wild characters, but when it comes down to it, what they're speaking, I'm feeling. And if I can be emotionally invested in what they're doing, then I'm all yours. I'm along for the ride. But if I, you know, if you're doing stuff and the next week you just pretend like who gives a shit, nobody remembers, and we just changing stuff on the fly, I can't deal with that.
I'll tell you when wrestling really changed for me. And it was just at the end of the WCW WWE takeover. That whole thing happened when it was all settled and everything was like the Survivor Series happened. Raw Team WWF won, and Team WCW ECW lost and stuff like that. Like then preceding year of wrestling, everything changed.
Yeah.
Now it's always a male soap opera. I don't care what anybody says. I'll be the first one to say it. It's always like that, but it used to be predominantly wrestling with a little bit of skits. Now it's a soap opera with a little bit of wrestling, and I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, there's a lot of people, when you look at it, there's a lot of people that have left, watching. The ratings have just steadily gone down and down and down and down and down and down and down over the last 15 plus years. And it's all right there in black and white. You can see the statistics and see people are leaving in droves, and it's unfortunate, but that's just the way that it is right now. So they have to figure out what they're going to do to get people back. So what are you going to do?
Well, I'm telling you, they need to let Triple H take over, because NXT is the most successful brand they got going right now, apparently. And that's all Triple H.
Yeah, no, I agree a lot. He's got Shawn Michaels working there with him, and they're doing amazing things.
The writing team between the two of them alone.
They're doing amazing things. Now, if they can get the ratings up and start beating AEW, they'll be even better.
That is a task right now.
Yeah.
They are steamrolling right now.
I'm so proud to see what they've done. And everything that's going on. Last thing I'll say before we go, you mentioned a couple times just kind of, with the whole COVID thing and how it's kind of affected some of your stuff. I mean, overall, kind of how are you dealing with it now? I mean, we're at the time we're recording this, it's June the 2nd. And so it's, we're probably, two or three months into this whole thing. And How have you adjusted with it and dealt with it as time has gone on?
excuse me. I haven't been doing it the most healthy way that I could. Like I said, put on weight.
Yeah.
We've eaten way more than we should. Things like that just got away from just doing the basic things like cooking at home and stuff like that, just because I don't know. It's just maybe like that's the lack of energy being in the house so much. Like, I'll go a week without leaving my house now, and I won't even think about it as an odd thing. I'm like, that is so weird, because I'm still working every day. I still put in my 9-to-5. I just do it from home. So I get off work. I work upstairs. So I got my computer. Then I'll log off, go downstairs. I'll throw on the Xbox. I'll hang out with the wife, stuff like that. I just don't even think about it. I'm like, oh, I got to get up and go for a walk or something. I got to get some sunlight. Try to form some normalcy. And today's the 2nd, like you mentioned. On the 5th, everything is supposed to start opening up here in Nova Scotia. So the gyms are going to start opening up, and I'm really excited about that. But the problem being is we haven't even got the guidelines from the government yet on what restrictions we're supposed to follow. We're a very small gym. Like, I wish I could give you the actual diameters of it. We're not big. It probably looks a little bit bigger than a shipping container that you'd find on the back of an 18-wheeler.
Right,
like,
right.
Not big, And so I'm very curious as to how that's going to affect us, because these regulations and things like that are coming out right now are all geared towards big commercial gyms. We're not a big commercial gym. So I'm very curious as to what they're going to tell us. And right now, according to my coach and everything like that, who's one of the owners, we're still waiting, So I'm hoping Friday I'll be back in the gym and I can get this weight loss journey kicking back off. You know, I should have an almost 400 pound deadlift by now. And I don't.
You'll get there.
Oh yeah.
You'll definitely
get there. I gotta get there before my wife. My wife's pregnant now. She PR'd at her first powerlifting meet at a 391 pound deadlift, I want to say.
Wow.
Which is more than I've ever done. So I have to take advantage of her being pregnant right now and get to 400 before her.
She's going to be body slamming you before you know it. Pregnant, no less.
Yeah, she ain't going to have, she ain't be putting up with none of my shit.
That's for sure. Well, Mike, I've really appreciated the conversation. Tell the people, you know, where you want them to go, where they can find you, and how, if they want to reach out to you, they can do so.
So, if you want to find me, you can find me at Big Bear Sheds on Instagram. That is my weight loss journey account. I had a personal account. I kind of really shut it down, and really to dedicate my focus to the weight loss journey, which I really don't post that much on, which I'm trying to get better at. Right. I also have The Beautiful Grind, so you can find me at The Beautiful GD on Twitter, on Instagram. If you want to check out the podcast, please, I'd appreciate any support, of course. I'm not in it monetarily. If you like what you see, like I said before, go tell a couple of people. That's how you can help me. And yeah, that's me.
That's you. That's everything you got.
That's me. I'm predominantly on Instagram, and that's at The Big Bear Sheds.
Right on. I got you on there. I realize I'm terrible. This is how bad I am at Instagram. People follow, and I sometimes I don't get back to everybody. I got you now, buddy. I'm with you.
All right.
I'm with you. I need to get better with that. That was one of my New Year's resolutions months ago, and it still hasn't stuck. But point is, we had a great conversation, and I really appreciate your time, Mike. And thank you so much for hanging out with me today on the podcast.
Man, it's been a pleasure. This was absolutely a blast.
All right, my man. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Later.
See ya.
All right. What a great chat with Mike. Again, if you want to follow him on Instagram, head over to at Big Bear Sheds on the gram. Guys, that's going to do it for me for this week. Glad to have you here. Thank you so much for your support. If you get value from this podcast, if you enjoy this podcast, and you happen to have an Apple device handy, leave a review. It helps tremendously. I'm telling you right now, Apple, they prioritize a lot of these shows by the reviews that they are getting. So if you can hook it up, please do on Apple Podcasts. It's iPhone, iPad, Mac, your 2005 Windows machine with iTunes on it. All of it can be done. Please help us out if you can. That's going to do it for me for this week. I will be back next week with another show. Come and check it out, garyspodcast.com. Thank you guys so much, and I will talk to you again very soon.